Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Design and Marketing Podcast with your host, Rob Cubbon, where you'll learn how creative design and targeted marketing will rocket your business sky high. And we've got a great program for you today, because today we have a great interview with Louise Myers, who some of you will know as Louise M. And today Louise is going to teach us how everyone is good at something and the market will want something. You've just got to find that sweet spot where the two intersect. And she found it, and we're going to find out how that happened. But first, I'm going to have to thank you again for your feedback about all the podcast episodes we've had so far. Thank you very much. I've had a busy week. I don't know about you. It seems as though this recession is over sometimes, I think, because I've had so much work to do, along with all my blogging stuff and everything like that, which is good. I'm not complaining. Also, London, where I live in the UK, has decided to put the temperature up a little bit. It's sort of about 5 or 6 degrees now instead of zero and freezing. So we've got slightly nicer temperatures here at the moment, and more work and more good stuff. So I'm pleased about that. The other thing I've been doing recently is starting a new podcast, would you believe, on my other site, genuinehypnosis.com. And I'm going to have a blog post about it, because I think podcasting is going to be very good. It seems to engender more of a connection rather than just text on a page. So I will be publishing a blog post shortly about how to set up a podcast. Let's waste absolutely no time in getting Louise Myers on from louisem.com. I've been trying since last year to get her on this interview, and she's been run off her feet. She's been really busy. In fact, she gives a lot of advice about how to control your busyness. She is planning out her weeks and months ahead in terms of blog posting and social media commenting. And you hear a lot about that. And it's very important when you're running a business to plan ahead the next few days, the next few weeks, and even the next few months. It's very important, because it just stops you going mad. If you get a lot of client work in, for example, you can sort it out. Whatever happens, you're ready for it if you've got your routine planned out. And that's one of the things Louise talks about. The other thing we talk about is how she literally went from 10 visitors a day this time last year until now. I should think she's getting 2,000 visitors a day during the week. So I can't think of anything better to do than to hand you over to the Louise Myers interview. Thank you. Hello, Louise. I'd love to for you to tell me where you're from and how you got into graphic design.
Hi, Rob. It's great to be here today. I am originally from New Jersey. Oh. And how did I get into graphic design? Well, interesting. I decided when I was in high school that I really wanted to pursue an art career. But and I knew that school I wanted to go to was Moore College of Art and Design in Philadelphia. But I wanted to go into fashion design. And when I went for my portfolio interview, they said to me, do you really like to sew? Because if you take fashion design, you'll be doing a lot of sewing. And I kind of thought about it, and they sort of recommended to me to go into a course that was called fashion illustration. And I ended up deciding to do that. And the course was actually doing both illustration and layout design for retail stores. And I really liked it. And I ended up deciding that I liked the layout design part of it even better than the illustration. I really liked seeing that blank page and laying out the products, whether they were fashions or, you know, home goods, or whatever, kind of geared to what department stores would sell. Yeah. And that's how I ended up going into graphic design.
Yeah. And you did that for quite a while. You were doing a lot of catalog work, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I worked at a couple department stores, and I ended up moving to Phoenix for a while. And then from there, I was hired by a catalog agency in Los Angeles. And at that time in the early 80s, like, catalogs were just kind of happening for department stores and all, and it was just a really booming business. So we were super busy at the agency, and it was fun for a while, but then it ended up that I was constantly having to farm out work to freelancers. And that's when I decided I didn't like being a manager, and I wanted to be the one that was doing the freelance work, you know, coming in, setting my own hours, and, you know, bringing the work back when I was done.
Yeah. So is that what you did? What did you do? Did you say, I don't want to be a manager, I quit?
Well, I went to talk to the owner of the agency, and I told him my feelings about, you know, not being happy with what I was doing. And he said, well, we really need you. We have so much work to do. It's more than what you and the other guy that I work with, Gary, could do. So he didn't, you know, he couldn't. So he said, switch me to, more going back to a design role. And I said, well, I want to do the freelance then. And would you give me work if I left the company? And he said, well, I don't want you to leave, so I can't tell you that I would do that. But I ended up leaving anyway. And fortunately for me, they did give me a lot of work. So that definitely made my transition a lot easier.
Well, it's funny that he couldn't bring himself to tell you that he would give you work, even though he probably realized that he would.
Yeah, he probably realized that. I mean, I was so frustrated with dealing with the freelancers because I felt like I was never getting what I wanted back. So what's funny about this whole story to me anyway is that I'm so not a risk taker. So I just must have known somewhere inside, you know, it was just an inspiration that I just felt this was the right thing to do and that I was going to do well at it. I don't know. It was like, to me, looking back, it was kind of an illogical thing to do, was just leave a good job where I was making good money.
Yeah, but when you look back, I'm sure you think it was the right thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so thrilled that I made that crazy leap.
Yeah, no, I am as well, that you made it. I definitely was a good thing. So that was quite a while ago, and you were doing print design work on your own at home, was it?
Yes, I worked at home. I never had an office. Mm. I had another designer friend that she had an office for a long time, but I liked working at home. And I think you probably need to have the right personality and be very self-motivated to be able to do that. But I love working at home and yeah. Have been doing it for over 28 years now. So it's been a long time.
Wow. God, I didn't realize it had been that long. You really go that way.
I've seen a lot of ups and downs and changes in the business and all that.
Yeah. Well, gosh, so all this time you've been running your own design agency.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, amazing. So, well, I mean, are we going to have to bring this up to the present day? And if I could manage to do 26 years in a flash, can we maybe bring it up to about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago and starting to work? I think that's a good point to pick it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because 4 years ago is about when it seemed like the world totally changed. At least my world did, with the economy and everything. Work that was flowing in, like most of it just stopped, you know. And
wow.
One recommendation I have for freelancers that I've always been is having a good cushion, you know, saving money. When you have a great year, like save half of it, you know, because you never know. It's not just about you. When, you know, work doesn't come in, it could just be the economy. So fortunately for me, I had, you know, it's just kind of the way I was raised. So I had a lot of savings, and I just sort of rode that for a while. And then, you know, I finally realized that, to my mind, the economy wasn't going to bounce back, and yeah. I needed to get online and start promoting myself.
Right. Fantastic. Well, that we picked it up at a good point then. 4 years ago. So when did you start LouiseM.com?
LouiseM.com is like not even quite 2 years old. I actually created a website back in like 1995, and that was just kind of a brochure sort of a website, like what they call Web 1.0, I guess, like very static and not a lot of traffic. And I ended up finally selling my domain name because I had a really good domain name and I was always getting a lot of interest in buying it. But anyway, so I started from scratch 2 years ago with LouiseM.com.
Right.
And it really started as my portfolio site. But then, as you know, things changed.
Yeah, I know. I know things have changed. And that's exactly what I want to talk about. Because so much has happened to Louise M in the last 2 years. I really don't know where to start. So maybe... Can we start with work, first of all, with clients? Because I want to talk about the passive stuff and your books later on and the social media as well. Or maybe the social media comes into it. But, you know, we're 2008, 2009, 2010. Your brochure work, your catalogue work, I guess, is dying a death.
Yes, the catalog work started petering out many years ago. Companies just, once it became more established, companies realized that they could save a lot of money by having their own department in-house. So that started petering out a long time ago. Also, department stores were merging, and so it's been a constant evolution, I guess. And I think one tip I would have for graphic designers is I think it's really important to specialize. I think it really helps you in many ways to specialize, but you also have to be flexible because you never know when your specialty might just kind of end or yes. change so much you can't keep up with it. So that's really what happened with my work. I ended up doing a lot of different kinds of things, and it was really interesting. Like before the big economy change, I was doing packaging design for Disney, which was really fun, but it was not something that I really had in my repertoire. It was just fortunate. But then with the economy, they decided they just killed off that entire department because we were doing work for the licensees. So they just decided, well, the licensees are going to have to do their own design work. So that department was axed. And that was the end of a very lucrative client. So you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
I've always been really reliant on, and I love having, as probably most designers do, clients that have ongoing work.
Yeah.
And it can become to a point where, even maybe 80% of your work is one or two clients. And it's great while it's working, but then there's always the chance that something's going to happen and you're going to lose, maybe half of your work overnight.
Yeah. I know. It's true. I mean, clients that that do give you work week in, week out are the best clients. But you're making me worried now because
No, don't worry. It's all good because you just have to adapt and change. I think that's one big lesson I've learned.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell us how you adapted and changed then. Tell us how Louise M got off the ground and how you taught yourself web design and blogging from scratch after being a print designer for so long.
Well, okay. I did know a little HTML because back in 1994, I took a class. And what's interesting is in 1994, you could have a class for one day and know pretty much everything there is to know about being a web designer. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But I quickly decided that wasn't something I wanted to pursue because it was just changing too fast and I didn't want to spend all the time on the learning curve. But fortunately, WordPress came along, and I decided to go with the WordPress platform when I established louisem.com. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I mean, okay, it works for everything. Everybody should be using WordPress.
I certainly agree with you there. But using WordPress is one thing. I mean, there's plenty of people who set up WordPress and the website just stays there and nothing happens. I mean, you learnt a lot more than just how to use WordPress. I mean, you're getting amazing traffic now. I was just looking, you're sort of 70,000 on Alexa. But that doesn't
mean... Isn't that incredible?
It is quite
incredible. I remember, Rob, when I first became aware of your site, and you were just like the guru to me because you had been doing the blogging for so long, and you had this, you know, top 100,000 Alexa site. And I don't know what happened. My site went from like 4 million to 71,000 in a year. I mean, in literally a year.
That is amazing.
So I'll tell you how I did it. But it was totally luck, or again, an inspiration.
Well, I think it's more than luck, but carry on.
Well, a little bit, but a lot of it was timing. And just when I saw all the news coming out just about a year ago that Facebook was going to be switching the business pages to Timeline, yeah, I decided that that was a great topic for me to blog about because Timeline was so visual. And that was kind of the whole reason for the switch was people are wanting quick communication through graphics and visuals, and Facebook was going to capitalize on that by creating this beautiful looking Timeline format. So this is great timing because this is probably actually like exactly a year ago today that I started writing about the Facebook Timeline. And because it was so new, I was able to rank for those terms. And I mean, yeah, it was like amazing. I'm like, oh, all of a sudden I've got, you know, all these views to my blog because I really had no focus before and just kind of blogged about whatever. I don't know. It was like kind of all over the place. Literally, I was trying to find a focus. But once I started seeing the traffic coming in, I sort of stayed with this Facebook theme and social media and found that people were thrilled to find tutorials on how to do things themselves to set up their Facebook page. So, yeah, I guess it was a combination of jumping on something, which to me was kind of luck because it was not anything that I planned or, you know, I thought, oh, this will be great. with a kind of a talent that I had for writing the tutorials, which, you know, I didn't even realize that I had. So I guess my experience could instruct others in that it doesn't hurt to kind of flounder around and try different things and hopefully, I mean, in my case, it worked. You know, you'll know when you found the right niche. So I realized just from my traffic and the feedback that I was getting that I had found something really great.
I actually knew all that because I could see it happening this time last year. I see it happening. I just wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, as they say. How much traffic were you getting this time last year before you wrote a post on the Facebook Timeline?
Oh, you know what? My average traffic was between 6 and 12 visits a day.
Wow. And now how much are you getting?
Now I'm getting about 50,000 visits a month.
Yeah.
So that's
2,000 a day?
I don't know.
A good day?
1,600 a day, yep. Something like that.
Well, you'd be getting 2,000 in the week and a little less at weekends, I think, I would imagine. But
exactly, yes, the weekends always dip.
Yeah, people do still have better things to do than work on weekends.
Yay! I'm glad they're not working all weekend.
Yeah, that is truly amazing, and it just shows you that the power of that. And it's so, I can't understand why there wasn't so much more on it on timelines and Facebook timelines at that time. Nobody else thought of saying this is how you do it. I mean, doing the crop for the big picture at the top.
Yeah,
it's so obvious, but it was actually quite difficult to find that information around because Facebook didn't do it, because Facebook never explained things very well. So
no, they don't explain things very well.
I think
they must be in cahoots with, I don't know, the social media gurus and social media designers or something. I don't know, because yeah. I know there were companies that were capitalizing on it, like Lejour, which is now Heyo, but they weren't telling people that you could actually do this stuff on your own for free in about an hour. You know, they just wanted you to sign up for their program. I'm sorry if you guys are listening.
No, I'm not. I think it's a good point. I mean, you did it for free. Anyone can go to your site and louisem.com and find out how to do a beautiful Facebook page with a proper picture and a profile picture, and don't be embarrassed like that lady on your site, the lady without the big picture,
right, the naked timeline cover photo.
Yes, and she's so ashamed with herself, rightly so. That is truly amazing what happened to you there, I think. Not amazing. I don't think it was luck. You were writing lots of different things about all sorts of stuff, design related or whatever, and you found something that obviously hit a home run, as they, I think the American expression is, and yes. and then once you saw it work, you went for it, and that's not luck, you know.
I couldn't argue with the numbers.
Yeah, well, you know, you kept at it, and I think you scored more home runs as a result, because I think you found other little niches along that social media route as well. So carry on with that story and tell what else have you done as a result of that, and what work has come your way as a result of that?
Well, I know you were interested in talking about passive income, and the first thing that came to my mind when I saw all this traffic coming in was that I needed to package the information I had published and add more to it and organize it into an ebook. And I really wanted to get that out before the timeline for pages went live at the end of March of last year. So I took about a week and tried to, I thought I could do it over a weekend. So I just, like, that was the only thing I worked on over the weekend, but it was my first ebook. So it was formatting issues and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I basically took a week and pulled together a lot of info and a lot of which I had already published, and just learned how to publish onto the Kindle platform. So when I did that, I was thinking, if I sell 10 books, I'm going to be really thrilled, because, oh, I don't know, it was just scary. That's what it was. It was scary to put something out there and, you know, charge people for it. And that book is still selling. It's like so exciting when I add it up at the end of the year. I mean, it's not like huge numbers, because I don't know really how to promote it or whatever, but which, you know, I'll learn, because I want to do more ebooks. But, you know, I was just thrilled that I had made like $1,500.
That's amazing. That's great.
And people were writing great reviews. Like, people I didn't even know were saying, this is so fantastic. And it was like, this is really fun. I like doing something that people appreciate and have been looking for. You know, it seems like it's a little bit unique. So Yeah, it's just really fun. And then, of course, you know, every time I get an email that, you know, there's money coming in or Amazon's going to deposit money into my account, it's like, woohoo, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And just as a matter of interest, out of the PDF and the Kindle, which is the best, but sells better?
That's a good question. You know, it started out being the Kindle. Yeah. And maybe just because over time I'm not showing up in the search results on Amazon that much, the PDF is really selling more now. I personally think that for this type of a book, you really want a PDF so you can print it out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't argue with the kind of traffic that Amazon gets, so you definitely want to be on Amazon. I mean, well, you don't have to be. I mean, it depends on your price point. It's Amazon kind of keeps your price point under $10. So that's definitely part of the consideration of being on Amazon. But they sure have fantastic traffic.
Yeah. So swings and roundabouts there, but still interesting stuff. So, I mean, if anyone who's listening who's struggling with their Facebook page, all they have to do is to go to louisem.com and they can either download the PDF there or have a link to the Amazon Kindle.
Right, exactly. It's on the upper right corner of, I think, pretty much every page. You'll see the little blue book. So.
Yeah, well, that's great. So, well, that's interesting about the Facebook timeline issue, but there's much more to Louise than just the Facebook timeline design. So, what else are you doing at the moment?
Well, right now, okay, let me back up just a second. I was starting to get kind of overwhelmed with trying to balance looking for design clients and wanting to pursue doing more ebooks or training or whatever. So I hired a business coach, which has been like a really good decision to get me focused. I'm the type of person that gets frazzled when there's too much going on, which is why the freelance career of working at home and having like a few choice clients has been fantastic for me. But now that we have all these chores that like are never done, like social media and blogging, it's like, when do you say enough and put a time limit on it? I was starting to truly lose my mind.
And then,
so
and then people
a coach
are
to help me get focused, and that was a really good decision. So for now, I'm putting a hold on looking for any more design work, and I'm just pursuing moving forward with developing some information products. And my next one is going to be on picture quotes, which are so popular for people to share on social media. And I've done a couple tutorials over the past year on those on my site, which have been really popular. So I'm going to go more into depth so people can know how to choose the right pictures and how to get the best quotes that work on them and how to make the type stand out and all kinds of stuff like that.
That's another great niche because of Google Plus. Not only Facebook, but so people can see in their time in their wall or timeline or feed, whatever you call it.
And Pinterest, they love those on Pinterest.
I was forgetting because I'm a man. I was forgetting Pinterest.
Oh, that's right. No men allowed.
it's so sexist. It really is.
Well, that's not really true for for our audience. We must specify that men are allowed on Pinterest.
Indeed. No, I am getting. I have found that certain things work well on Pinterest for me, and certain things don't. And it's just it's a visual thing, and you've just got to work out how it works. And I'm not great at Pinterest. I'm not great at a lot of social media actually, but.
I'm with you there, actually. Even though I blog about it, I'm more from the visual perspective. I'm not so much of a socializer. But now that we have, you know, the visuals for social media are totally exploding because we're just like so inundated with information. It's a quick way to communicate a message, and so many business owners just need some guidance with that. So, you know, that's where I step in. And I'm not going to say it works for everyone, because I think you have to have some visual sense for this to work for you. But I think a huge trend is just people wanting to express themselves more creatively. So,
No, it really is. It's the next stage. It's instead of just typing out a quick status update, it's doing an image.
Right. I mean, even Twitter has moved from being strictly text to even they have like the cover photo now, what they call the header image. And, you know, of course, we can put images on Twitter and videos now with Vine. So everybody's moving in this direction. And it's great for us as designers, because there's so many people that need, you know, they need help setting up their Twitter page, or they need, you know, they need someone to do it for them, or they need someone to kind of hold their hand through it.
So there's obviously a lot of things in the future for you to do. And you know, it's endless, really, the applications.
It is. You should look at my list of blog post ideas. It's endless.
Well, that's
this fantastic. Is why I need help getting focused.
Yeah, well, you were talking about the business coach, and I know that in the last 2 weeks you've been very busy, and you've also had me emailing you all the time, hassling you to come on this podcast. So I'm sorry about that. But what else has this business coach done for you? Are you arranging your time a lot better and stuff like that?
Sometimes I feel like I haven't even gotten to the meat of our coaching yet. I feel like she's just talking me down from my panic sometimes, just helping me get focused. It's like, okay, look at all the things that are on your list. What's the most important thing that will help you? And I'm honestly, for now, and we've been working together for about a month, I'm just kind of at the point where there are so many things that have been driving me to distraction that I just need to get off my plate. I've just realized that. Like, the first huge thing I did about 2 weeks ago was I learned how to bulk schedule on Twitter. And that was like, what a relief. I don't have to worry each day what I'm going to tweet, because it's done for a week, you know?
Oh, brilliant. And what tool do you use to do that?
I'm using Hootsuite.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only just learned that as well. So, you know.
Yeah. But that's my thing, kind of. Like I was saying, like so many blog posts, it's my next step is just going to be looking at all the other social media and all my blog post ideas and scheduling them out for the month of March. And just so that I know, instead of like waking up in the morning and going, oh no, I have nothing to put on my Facebook fan page today. What am I going to come up with? You know, that is just such an energy sap for me. Getting into organizing my life.
This is so important, Louise. This is fantastic advice, and this is why I'm doing this podcast.
Great. I hope I can inspire others, because I feel like, at my age, I should have my act together, you know, and I've been doing this for so many years being on my own. But like I said, all of a sudden we're in a world where the tasks are endless. It's not like you have a design job with a beginning and an end. It's like with social media, you could spend, you know, hours on it every day, and you have to give it a structure.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you're not just inspiring other people, Louise, but you're also inspiring me, because it's so right. You need to plan out. You need to plan out something for your Facebook page every day for a month, and your blog post schedule for a month, because then you'll never. It's such good advice, because then you'll never get panicked, and something will happen, you know, because you'll get a client. In my case, I'll get a client, you know, asking me to do some work for them, and then I'll think, oh my God, I've got to find time for both things. Whereas if I had it scheduled up a few weeks in advance, then I wouldn't get that obvious panic. So it's fantastic advice that you've given us.
Do you think we're prone to this being designers? We're just not so structured with our time. I've been really fighting this. I mean, believe me, this working with this coach has brought out all kinds of issues for me.
I don't know whether it's just us designers. I think everyone's complaining of this time issue at the moment.
There's just so much more on us these days, I think. You know, there's, like I said, it's just kind of an endless tasks, and when you get on Facebook to update your fan page, you're going to be distracted by something. So you really have to be strict with yourself. You do, and realize that there's time for that later. And now I've got to get on Facebook and update my fan page because I've got this other thing on my list that I have to do, you know, in 10 minutes from now. So.
Okay, so we got 10 minutes. Then I've got my last question for
you. Oh, no, I didn't mean to you, no. Rob. No. And by the way, I am so thrilled to be here, so please don't feel that you've been pestering me. It's just been a matter of, you know, being talked down off the ledge by my coach so I could be sane enough to be here.
Well, I'm very glad that happened.
Me too.
Well, this is great, Louise. Okay, so one quick question I ask everyone. Okay, so what advice would you give a graphic designer who's starting out on their own, who maybe has started on their own and been doing it for a couple of years, or is thinking of doing it? What's one good piece of advice you can give them?
I think this sounds counterintuitive, but I think that specializing is really helpful. Figure out what you're really good at and what the marketplace needs, and that's going to be your sweet spot. I also kind of would nudge you towards social media design because I just think that's so huge, but everybody has something that they really love to do. It also has to be what the marketplace needs, though. So where those two intersect, that's where you're going to succeed.
Fantastic, Louise. I cannot top that. That was awesome.
Rob, I'm getting a big head. Can you see it, like, growing?
You should. I mean, you should have a big head. I can't see it growing, but it should be big. That's all I can say. Thanks a lot, Louise. It's just been great to talk to you. I could talk to you for another half hour, but I won't. It's really been great. Thank you so much.
I've enjoyed it as well. I think we have to cut it short for your listeners. Probably have other things they need to do. Hopefully I've inspired them to go, I don't know, schedule their Facebook post for the week or something, and they can go do that now.
I'm sure you've inspired them in lots of different ways, not just the social media scheduling bit. I think all of it has been a big inspiration for what you've done. And on behalf of my listeners, big thank you, Louise. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Louise Myers there. Really great to talk to her. I got a ton of great information from her there. I hope you did too. And if you haven't already, head over to her blog. It's louisem.com. And if you go there, on the right-hand side, she has a sign-up form, and I really would recommend you sign up for her newsletters. And she gives some great tips about social media there, and it's all about specifically the design side of social media and how to get the best looking Facebook page and how to put photos in your Facebook page that will get shared. And there's just a ton of good information there. I've been looking at it recently and it's just fantastic. It's changed the way I've been doing Facebook and Twitter and a lot of other things. And so I really recommend you go over to louisem.com. That's louisem.com. Not very difficult to remember. Louise Myers. Thanks, Louise, for coming on the show. And thank you for listening. This has been Rob Cubbon from robcubbon.com. Thank you for the encouragement. Everyone is mentioning these interviews. I think a lot of you are enjoying them. Please drop me a line and tell me what you think. If you know someone you'd like me to interview that you think would be good for this show, then drop me a line and let me know. I'd love to hear from you anyway with feedback about the show or feedback about my site, robcubbon.com. And I'd really love if you hopped over to iTunes and subscribe if you've not subscribed already to the Design and Marketing Podcast, and leave us a review, and that would be great. So thanks a lot for listening. Goodbye.